Holy Spirit, you said the Holy Spirit would bring all things to our remembrance. You said the Holy Spirit would comfort us, Lord God. So we pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to come. Move through this room, Lord God. We pray the Holy Spirit that you don't just hover, but fall on us, infuse us. Help us, Lord, with our understanding of your word, Lord God. Move on us by your Spirit, by your power. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So as we go forward, hopefully we're going to finish up the Lord of Glory. We're going to be on Hallowing This Name, part two today, the Lord of Glory. And just to review a little bit of last week, we talked about what it was to hold sacred this name, the Lord of Glory. And as always, it never seems like, you know, when you read that title, the Lord of Glory, and you talk about what it is to hold to it, it never seems like it's going to be what you think it is. It's going to be something different, what it is to hold his name, the Lord of Glory. In particular, we talked about John the Baptist and how his father prophesied over his life and what he would be and all the things that he would do, and that he would be the one that introduced Christ into human life. And his life was relevant. John the Baptist's life was relevant only as it was linked to Christ, the Most High. And then once he had done what he was supposed to do in his short life, then he was taken. He was arrested and he was beheaded. And that was John the Baptist's life. But remember what Christ said of John the Baptist in Luke 7:28. He says, I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. I think that's so amazing for Christ to give this man such a compliment. I mean, can you imagine Christ giving you that type of compliment over your life? You know, when you look at your life, what would Christ comment, we talked about your life? If he had to make a comment about you, what would he make? This is the comment he made about John the Baptist, because John was really holding fast to Jesus Christ as the Lord of Glory. John's life reflected the life of Christ. You know, as I said, the scripture says he never had a wife. The scripture doesn't record that he had a wife or children or an occupation other than living in the wilderness preaching. You know, he was eating locusts and wild honey, grasshoppers basically. The man was eating grasshoppers, you know, which is a great source of protein, of course. He was eating grasshoppers and honey, and that's how he existed. And his whole life was all about reflecting the glory of God. And he held to that name, the Lord of Glory, until his death, when he was arrested and beheaded. And we were just talking about how we are compelled to do the same thing. We are compelled to reflect that as we hold sacred his name, the Lord of Glory. Now, so we're going to move on to part two of the Lord of Glory. And we left off in that area, that scripture in your notes. My notes numbers are different than yours, but where it says, remember what Christ said about John the Baptist, I tell you, among women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. Luke 7:28, and then we're going to move on to the next segment. And it says, for God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. And this scripture is from Colossians 1:27. I really like this section, the Hallowed section, where it only has a list of scriptures in your book. You know, it just has these. But it's such a wonderful study. As you just go through each scripture, it's like the Holy Spirit gives you like a different facet of this name as you look at these different scriptures. So as we look at this particular scripture as it relates to the Lord of Glory, it talks about, for God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. You know, so that had to be really emphasized, because before it was all about the Jews, and it was always about those that were related, that were the children of Abraham. But he's making an emphasis on that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. This was the plan of God all along, to bring the whole world to himself through his son. The apostle had to call the rest of us by name, you Gentiles, so that it would be clear to us that God sent his son for the saving of the whole world to share his glory with us all. So therefore we see that God and his Christ, that no one is, is excluded. God is not an exclusive God for any people group. God is the God for everybody. I remember years ago when somebody was telling me about the Muslim faith, and I think it was the Black Muslim faith or something they were telling me. And I remember telling this person, I said, if he's only the God of, if the God you're talking about is only the God of one people, then he's not God. Because God is God, folks. The Creator is the Creator. So if you just have this exclusive God for a particular race of people, I said, then he's not God. I'm sorry. Because God is God, and he is the Creator of all, and he calls all people to join in his glory. And the key to sharing that glory is Christ Jesus. You know, as we've talked about, Christ Jesus gave to us the highest level of glory that there can be. There's a glory on the earth. There's a glory in the majesty you see on the earth. There's a glory even in heaven. There's a glory that the angels have in heaven. And then there's the glory of the Almighty God. And that is the glory that Christ chose to share with humanity. So as we break down, talking about the different aspects of his glory, we want to look at him as king. So to hold sacred his name as the King of Glory means understanding his level of kingship. The title king is used often on the earth, but only, and it should be one, stands and will stand as king over all on that last day. Do you understand that? Only one person is going to stand as king over all on that last day. The scripture says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord shall be the only one worshiped, and his name the only one. That's from Zechariah 14 and 9. So on that great day, there will be only one left standing. Of all the human beings, of all the spirits, angels, demons, and principalities that have ever lived or existed, only one will be left standing as king on that great day. And his name is Jesus, the King of Glory. Do you get this? Do you get this? Therefore, the scriptures compel us to choose this day who you're going to serve. For the last day could be today. Do you understand that? The last day could be today. So that's why he compels us today to choose who you are going to serve. In your handout, you should have a handout. If you don't, there's some on the table. It's from Joshua 24, 14 through 24. And this is where people are compelled to choose. This is a life or death or an eternal death matter. Do you understand? This is an eternal matter. When you're choosing who you're going to serve, this is not temporal. This is not voting for the president that's going to be around for 4 years. This is not this. We're talking about an eternal choice that you need to choose today. Because, as I said, today could be the last day. We don't know. So in Joshua 24, and this is when the children of Israel, they've come out of the Egypt and they've crossed over the Jordan, and Joshua is taking over, and this is what is being said to them as these people are talking about how they are going to live and how they're going to be governed. So this is from Joshua 24, 14 through 24. This is a New Living Translation, and at the 14th verse it says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You know this verse well. As for me and my house. See, Joshua is making a declaration. But as for me, so you can go back and serve what you used to serve back in Egypt. Those gods, they had Baal and all these other gods. Or now we're in this new land and they got their thing going on. So you can choose to be like them and serve what they serve. And Joshua says, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So you got to make a stand. You got to make a choice. I know it's this. We're in these free United States of America, but I'm telling you, folks, we're surrounded by the whores of hell. And this cannot be a passive choice you're making. If you're going to hold to him as a Lord of glory, it needs to be done on purpose. It needs to be done deliberately. It can't be passive. Like, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, yeah, Jesus is good, he all right, yeah, I serve him, yeah. It can't be this nonchalant, casual choice. Folks, you got to be like Joshua. He knew, he understood the situation. See, some of us don't understand the situation we're in right now. You don't understand that you're in the land of the Amorites and you're surrounded by this stuff. And that you need to make a choice this day who you are going to serve. The people reply, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. Oh, this sounds so good. This sounds so good. They're going back in history and they're talking about, they're remembering what God did for them. And they were remembering how he took them out of slavery. They're remembering these things. And I just cannot help, folks, I cannot help but think about these United States. Yes. You know, I cannot help but think about us and how we came over here. Some from different ways, we came over here in different ways, but at some point we became a nation. And for all reasons, there is no way we should have won the American Revolution. I'm telling you, you go back and read about the situation, there's no way we should have won. If you read that history and how things were, the Continental Army freezing to death at Valley Forge, freezing to death. I can only imagine what was going through George Washington's mind. Army freezing to death, Brits, they got all their red coats, they got all the stuff, they got all the riches, they got all this stuff. There's no way we should have won that war. We won because God had our back. That's why we won. When I'm looking at, oh boy, I just can't help it. I was reading this, I just couldn't help but think about us, how they're reviewing what happened. They came out of a land of slavery, just like, you know, we came out of this oppression over what Britain was oppressing the United States, the colonies, you taxing us, but you won't be representative. We're just going to take your taxes, you know. And they talk about the mighty miracles he performed. You know, the Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea and did all these wonderful things. I think about how God did all these things for us and how we won the war. And then the War of 1812, we came through the Civil War where we're fighting amongst ourselves, and God brought us through all of that and made us into one nation and then began to just bless us and bless us and bless us. I mean, every great invention that came along came out of these United States, from the light bulb to the automobile to the computer. Everything came out of these United States, a united people that were united, one nation under God. And God raised us up and made us great and made us powerful, made us one of the most powerful nation in the world. He made us one nation under God. Let me finish, Mark. You know, one nation Folks, I'm telling you, as I was reading this, I couldn't help but think about us. And they made this pledge and they said, so we too will serve the Lord God, for he alone is our God. We have it on our money. In God we trust. We have it in our justice departments, in our courtrooms. In God we trust. We have it everywhere, stamped everywhere. In God we trust, for he alone is our God. And then look at verse 19, folks. Then Joshua warned the people, if you are not able to serve the Lord, let me read that again. You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is holy and jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sin. For if you abandon the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been good to you. Wow. Oh, man, I know. Doesn't that hit you right in the gut? This is the word of God, folks. I didn't make this up. I didn't write this. This is the word of God to a people. The people that knew their God. It's not like these people. God was not a stranger to these people. They knew him. He did all these wonderful things for them. And then Joshua warns them, you know, if you will not serve God, remember, he's holy and he's jealous. He's holy. Oh, my goodness. He's holy. He's not going to deal with all this nonsense, all this legislation. We're changing our laws, and right is good and good is wrong. And he's holy. He's not going to change, folks. The word of God, it's not going to change. He remains holy. And he is jealous. He does not appreciate us serving other gods. I mean, we got to really understand the gravity of our the situation that we're in right now. It says, he will not forgive your rebellion and your sin. If you abandon the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been good to you. And I tell you guys, for the first time, the U.S. dollar is slipping, you know. It's slipping. I think it's underneath the British pound right now in value. It's underneath the British pound. It's slipping. The economy. You know, what is valued in America? The value of America is dropping. And dropping. I think the only thing that's actually just holding it steady is the prayers. The prayers of the people. That's the only thing that's just holding it. I'm telling you, it's the only thing that's just keeping us our head above water. So we can breathe, so we can survive. Is the prayer that is going on in this nation and for this nation. I know you didn't expect this when you came to the class today, but, you know, it needs to be, you know, this thing hit me. And I know we just came out of Independence Day, and we came out of the 4th of July, I think it's 241 years the United States has been in existence. And how we started and where we are today. But the people answered Joshua, hear this, no, we will serve the Lord. You are a witness to your decision, Joshua said. You're witnessing to what you're saying before God, because God's listening to what you're saying to him. You have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, they replied, we are witnesses to what we have said. All right then, Joshua said, destroy the idols among you and turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. You know, he's calling us to do that today. Okay? You've choosing me? As for in your house, we're going to serve the Lord. Then destroy the idols. And you know what they are. I think they're different for all of us. You know what they are. What you put before God, what you put ahead of God, that's the idol. What you put before his word, what you choose to do in disobedience to the word of God, that's your idol. You know what the word of God says, but you are going to do this, that's your idol. Then the 24th verse says, the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God. We will obey him alone. I'm telling you, this is a pledge of a people to God. It is a pledge that this country has made to God. And you can't help but just think about this nation and where we stand right now. So we're compelled, people, we're still compelled to make a decision. It's a personal decision, it's an individual decision, but it's also a corporate decision. So as we look at the different areas of his kingship, we look at the king in his beauty. The scripture says your eyes will see the king in his beauty. That's Isaiah 33:17a. You will see the king's beauty in your life. That should be your life. He will give you beauty for ashes, to console those who mourn in Zion, the scripture says, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's Isaiah 61:3. So as you hold sacred his name, the King of Glory, you will enjoy his rescue and comfort in and through all situations in your life. Do you understand that? You will enjoy his rescue and his comfort through all situations. Folks, no matter what you're going through, you can enjoy his rescue and his comfort. Sometimes you're going to might be in the situation for a while, but you can be comforted in the situation because he'll give you that. He is faithful to turn the ashes of your life into something beautiful. It's in his word. He will turn those ashes of your life into something beautiful. The heaviness in your heart will be turned to praise. And nothing scatters away the spirit of heaviness like praise to the God of glory. I'm telling you, if you have to put the earbuds in, Lord, if you have to turn the stereo up, if you have to, you know, sometimes the lump in your throat is so huge you can't sing, but you can turn the praise on and listen to the praise. I understand now why the old church brothers back in the day, they used to just groan. When they were in prayer, they would just, I remember. And sometimes I've seen moms do that. They just, Or you see people just, There are no words. Sometimes there are no words. And sometimes the lump in your throat is so huge, you can't get a word out past it. That's when you turn on the praise and listen to the praise of God, and your spirit speaks to his spirit. Remember, we talked about last week about deep calls to deep. We revisited that scripture again. Deep calls to deep. Because he is the king of beauty, and he will turn your life into something beautiful. He will. He promises that he will. So, because he's the king of beauty. He is the king of glory, as we talk about. Lift up your hands, the scripture says, you gates, and lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Psalm 24:7. The gates spoken of in this passage refers to the gates of Jerusalem, Israel, or where the people of God live. As we lift up our gates and everlasting eternal doors of our souls to Christ, he will come in with all of his glory. But you got to understand, the instruction says there's a lifting. There's a lifting up of our gates, our doors, that is required. I just can't forget what Rita was saying, that our eyes are gates. Yes, they're gates, visual gates. Your ears are auditory gates. Your mouth is a vocal gate. So you lift up your gates. You lift up your soul. That's your work. The scriptures command us to do that. There's a lifting up of our gates, our doors, that is required. Ponder on these verses and ask yourself, are your gates lifted up for the King of Glory to come in it? Is it lifted up, or are you listening to other stuff? Listening to somebody whispering in your ear. Sometimes the enemy is whispering in your ears. Remember those old cartoons that used to show an angel on one shoulder and the devil with a pitchfork on the other shoulder? Folks, that's a real thing, man. You can hear the Holy Spirit in one ear and you can hear the devil just, no, don't do it that way. Do the rule, you know. You know? Who's your ear lifted up to? Who's your ear peaked up to? What are your eyes looking at? What's coming in your gates? Are your gates lifted up to the King of Glory? As we praise and worship Christ, we are lifting up our gates to Him. You want to know how? It's not even hard. Just start praising Him. Just start praising Him. You don't know what to praise, turn to Psalm 100. Okay, you got it on your phone. Turn to Psalm 100. So just start reading Psalm 100. And I said, you'll be praising the Lord. And just start praising Him. And watch the whole atmosphere around you change. I'm telling you, these spiritual forces are real. These are not fairy tales we're talking about. That's why you see the world and all the movies you see and all the shows, all the stuff you see is all about this occult and spiritual stuff. Because the enemy is out there. Even people that don't believe know. So you have to be able to fight on a spiritual level because you will not defeat Satan in the physical. You will defeat him in the spiritual. He wants to keep the physical in front of you. Oh, you can't pay your bills. Oh, this one's doing that and this one's doing that. But I'm telling you, lift up your gates to the spiritual and watch all these things. The songwriter said, again, turn your heart toward Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it's true. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care what's going on. As we said, he's the King of beauty. He's the King of glory. But you got to lift up your gaze, as the scripture says, and the King of glory will come in. So you got to find out, what are your gates lifted up to, Christ, or are they lifted up to another? Are you waiting and looking toward another to bring glory to your life? Are you waiting for the circumstances to resolve or that person to change rather than to the King that can shine his glory into your darkness? Will you lift up your gates in the darkness waiting for the King of glory? See, some of us, we won't praise until the situation is all resolved. I'm not going to praise him until this bill is paid, and then I will praise him. I'm not going to praise him until I got a car. And once I get a car, I'm going to praise him. I'll praise him after I get my house. Then once I get my house, then I'll praise him. See, you don't know how to fight. You don't even know how to fight. You don't even know how to deal with your darkness. And if you don't know how to deal with your darkness, guess what? It's just going to get darker. And darker and darker, just like the sun going down. Unless you know how to fight on a spiritual level, lift up your gates. In the middle of that darkness, in the middle of that situation, I dare you to praise him, they used to tell. I dare you to praise him. Well, so-and-so just died. I dare you to praise him. I just lost my job. I dare you to praise him. My house just burned down. I dare you to praise him. I remember, and this is a true story. This is a little sister that lived back home in our hometown. And her name was Marie. And maybe Marie will hear this on the podcast. I don't know. But Marie was having a hard day. You know, she I don't know what happened with her finances, but she was getting evicted. And the people were coming to her house. I mean, they had actually sent people to her house to start moving her stuff out of her house because, you know, they had to get her out of there. It wasn't her property anymore. And I tell you, she went around there And she started praising God. You got to know this because she was always happy. She was always praising, always happy. No matter what, you always saw a smile on Marie's face. And Marie started walking through her house just praising God as they were moving her stuff out on the lawn. She just praising God, hallelujah, and just praising and singing and praising and singing. And don't you know, and this is a true story, I tell you, I'm not making this up. Those men that were moving her stuff out, at some point, stopped moving her stuff out and started moving her stuff back in, and they took up a collection. I kid you not, this truly happened. Took up a collection to help her pay her stuff off. I'm telling you, God is God. He's real. He's real. You know, and sometimes, see, you got to understand, when you go through this darkness, it's not just about you. God is like, I'm allowing this to happen to you so you can be my witnesses, so you can show them what it is to hold in the hallow and hold sacred the King of Glory. I serve the King of Glory. I know you're taking my stuff outside, but I'm serving the King of Glory in the middle of this darkness. You remember what he said, the light, whoa, hallelujah. You have within you the light that shines in the darkness, the scripture says. It's not the light that shines in the light, you know. I mean, any light can shine in the light. But he is the light that shines in the darkness. I'm beginning to understand what the apostle meant when he said, I glory in tribulation. I get it now. I'm like, oh my God, the light bulb came on. Oh, because every time there is a tribulation, he turns that light, he shines a light in darkness, and he starts to see the glory of God move in that darkness. And that's why he's thrilled. He's like, okay, what's the next problem, Jesus? What's the next thing to come? What's the next trial? Because I'm ready to shine the light in the darkness and see you do it again. And do it again. And turn the situation around, folks. So we hold sacred. Again, we're holding sacred. So he is the King of Glory. He will bring his glory into any situation. We just have to lift up our gates. He is the King of Israel or Jacob. And the scripture is from John 1:49. It says, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Christ is the King of Israel, the King of those who contend with God. Remember what that name means. It means prince, but it also means the ones that contend with God. He is the King of the whole story, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to his coming to save the world. He is the King. So you got to get this title, King of Israel and Jacob. That means he's saying, I was there at the beginning. I was in through the whole story. And I'm still here through all of it, through all of your contending with me, your struggles with me, you know. It wasn't necessarily a negative thing, because Jacob, you know, he fought with the angel of the Lord all night long. And see, that's what we're doing. We're struggling. We're trying to obey this Bible, this word that he has, but we struggle with it. Because it's so against what we are, what we came out of. But he is the King of it. I am the King of your contending. I am through your contending. Don't worry if you had a bad day. I'm there with you. I'm the King of it. I saw your bad day before you saw one day. I saw this bad day. And I'm the King of it. Do you get it? So don't turn away from God when you have a bad day. He's the King of it. Keep contending with him. Oh, Lord, he invites you. Come, let us reason. Let us talk about this. So he's also, the next point says, King of Kings. So he's the King of Rulers. And as we break down even today's ruler, he's the King of the CEOs. He's the King of Presidents. He's the King of Prime Ministers. He's the King of mom and dads. He's the Kings of grandmamas and grandpapas. He's the King. Don't you know? He's the king of everything. He's the king of the landlords. He's the king of the mortgage companies. He's the king. He's the king of the grocery stores. Yeah, he's the king of Walmart. He's the king of Sam's Club. He's the king. He is king of the kings of the whole earth. And the scripture says in Revelation 17, 12 through 14, it says the 10 horns of the beast are 10 kings who have not risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdom for one brief moment to reign with the beast. They will all agree to give him their power and authority. Together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings, and his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. Holy, I don't know where you're going to be on that day, but I'm going to be with him, okay? So you need to choose, because I'm planning to be with him, okay? He's talking about these 10 kings, and that's something that the book of Revelation is talking about. Come, and the kings are going to give their powers to the beast of the Antichrist, and they're going to join up and try to fight Christ. But I'm telling you, I love that part when he said the faithful ones, the chosen ones, will be with him.
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to be with him, folks. Know that the scripture declares that the authority of the kings of the earth is temporary, and they will be defeated by the Lamb, who is the King of Kings. Note also the comment about the chosen and faithful ones being with him. Where will you be on that great day when the 10 kings, with the 10 kings, or with the King of Kings? So again, choices, choices, choices. The time for choosing sides is growing closer every day.
Yes.
Let me say that again. The time for choosing sides is growing closer every day. And not only that, folks, it's growing more intense every day. It's growing more black and white every day. You know, either you're on the Lord's side or you're not. You know, it's becoming very much more apparent today. Until now, we could hide our allegiance to Christ if we choose, but the day is coming when you will have to choose to stand with him publicly or not. See, we can hide our allegiance, you know. I mean, I think, talking about our nation, we don't even realize the persecution that has come to this nation, you know, toward Christians. You know, you hear it on the news, we don't even realize, you know, and we keep our head down and our mouth shut. So, you know, maybe if I just keep my head down and my mouth shut, everything will be all right. But the day comes. You got to choose who you're going to serve. And you need to be thinking about it now. Not when the day comes. Choose to stay. So he's the King of Kings. He's the ruler of rulers. The next segment is he is King of Saints. As we hold his name sacred, the Lord of Glory, he is our King and we are his saints. Some of the words that describe the saints are holy, godly, devout, spiritual, prayerful, virtuous, righteous, good, sinless, and guiltless. These describe saints. And we are his saints. We're supposed to be his saints. And this is the description. Oh my goodness. I'm like, Lord, help us, Lord Jesus. We are his saints only because, now get this part, we are his saints only because of the blood of the Lord of Glory. The scriptures declare that one day, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the Saints. That's Revelation 15 and 3. Again, Revelation, we're talking about that great day as we stand with his saints, singing the song of Moses in his presence. As believers, as saints, we are faced with the important question of allegiance to our King, that our praise would belong to him alone. You know, saints, I just want you to think about that description of saints. He is the King of Saints. So where are we falling here? You know, as we look at these descriptions, you know. And it's not that we're perfect, but I know God is looking for a heart toward him.
Amen.
Hearts toward him. I'm not saying that we walk in perfection. I think we will always be working until he comes. But he's looking at your heart. Do you have a heart toward me? If I mess up, Lord, I'm right there. Remember King David, a man after God's own heart? Man was a murderer. He committed adultery. He did all these things, but he always turned back to God and said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Something done creeped up in my life, Lord, but renew a right spirit in me, he said. That's what he calls us to do. And don't wait too long to do it either. You don't have to sulk. You don't have to go through penance. You don't have to do 50 Hail Marys. You don't have to do that. Just turn to him and pray the prayer, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. Lord, something has crept in, but I ask that you would create in me a clean heart and renew a loyal, one translation says, a loyal spirit, a steadfast spirit in me, and he will come immediately. That's why Jesus told that story of the prodigal son. You know, so that we would get it and we would understand that God is never turning his back on you. The father ran out to meet him. He didn't wait until he came into the house and then found the father and the father sitting in the living room with his arms crossed. No, the father ran out the door and met him on the road and said, this is my son who was lost and now he's found, and welcomed him in and gave him a party. See, that's God. God will do that. You done messed up. I'm telling you, come back and he throws you a party. He does that. I mean, just, he is the King of creation. In the beginning, the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And this is Genesis 1:1-3. And understand that the sun and the moon were not created at this point in time. God said, let there be light, and there was light. See, the sun and moon are coming up in verse 14. We're just on verse 1-3. And then he's going to talk about the sun and moon and bring forth the sun. Let the sun come up. I'm telling you, I get excited when I think about this because God just says, let there be. Do you understand? He is God of creation. That he says that there be light. He does not need the sun to bring light. He just sets that up for us. Says, okay, let the sun shine on the earth and, you know, let the earth sit like this. But before all of that, there was light because he said there was light. Do you understand? I want you to get an understanding how you have to, God is not confined by time and space. He is outside of creation. And he can call whatever he wants to call into being without the physics that we rely on to make it happen. That's why mankind just blows my mind with his arrogance sometimes. I mean, he's just describing what God has done, you know, and describing and thinks he's so smart and doesn't even realize. You're playing with marbles on the floor, buddy. God is, he's outside of creation. Do you understand? He's the King of creation. He does not need the physics of the earth in order to do what he does. He is the King of all creation. No one else can create or call things into being with the utterance of a word. From the beginning of the earth, he called everything into being, and it was glorious and perfect as he is. The problems that we see and experience are the result of the corrupter of his creation. The corrupter cannot create anything. He can only deceive and corrupt the creation called into being by the King of creation. Amen. You understand? Satan cannot create anything. He cannot do anything. He can't even make you disobey. That's why he has to deceive you in order to get you to disobey. Check it out in the garden. Check out the story of the garden. He had to lie to Eve to get her to disobey. And that's the way he is, because he can't do anything with creation except I can corrupt it. I can't even make it get corrupted. I just have to lie to them and deceive them so that they do it themselves. That's why he likes to stay hidden. That's why he camouflages himself. That's why he camouflages himself as an angel of light or as a nice person, or, you know, I'm your friend and I'm helping you and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Oh, you don't need that Bible. You don't need to, you know, you don't need that. Because he can't make you do anything, because he is not Lord of creation. You are God's creation. So he can't make you do anything. All he can do is lie to you and lie to you until you believe the lie and then act on the lie. Then he's corrupted. And that's what he does. That's what he has done from the beginning. That's what he continues to do. But there is only one king of creation, and it is the Lord God. One day the king of creation will forever bind the corrupter. But today, he still reigns as king over all that exists. Do you understand that? With all you see in the world, Christ Jesus is still king of creation. What you see, like all this horror in the world and all these things in the world, it's the corrupter. It's the liar. But Christ is king over creation. That's why things are going to end up the way they are going to end up. That's why he comes back. That's why he returns. And that's why he comes back and he raptures his church off of this planet that belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. That's why he can do what he does. But like, you know, how dare Jesus thinks he can come back and just take people and, you know, and how dare Jesus think he can? It's his property. All of this is his. Do you understand? I'm telling you, you're breathing his air, eating his food. Every day you're doing, this is his stuff. Including you, you're his stuff. So that's why he's the one that writes the days of your life in a book. He knows every day of your life. I know we get upset sometimes when people are taken and this happened and that. He knows what he's doing. It's his property. He is the king of creation. You know, this is a drop the mic moment, you know. Okay, moving on. He is the king of who I am. Your king.
Amen.
And the scripture says, this is from Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. If he is to be your king, your personal sovereign Lord, then you must honor him as such. You must understand that you are daughters and sons of Zion, out of the city of God.
Hallelujah.
As citizens of God's city, you must choose every day to be loyal to your king. Remember, he bought you with a great price.
Yes, Lord.
1 Corinthians 6:20. You know, see that verse. I'm telling you. When you look at just the logistics of everything and how everything is set up, how everything, I mean, here it is. It's his planet. Everything on it is his. And then this corrupter comes in, and the corrupter deceives the people. So all of his creation is corrupted. And then he comes, and he pays a price to get you. I'm like, that blows my mind. Don't you understand? He could have been outside of that and just said, you know what? Let's start all over again.
Yes.
They could have done, let's start all over again.
Yes.
They're corrupted.
Yep.
Let's just get rid of Lucifer. Get rid of Satan. That's always the question. Why didn't he just get rid of Lucifer in the first place? Why in the world did he just let him continue to exist? Even in hell, why him go through all that? Why don't just talk him out of existence? This is why. Because anything that is created by this God, the eternal, our eternal God,
yes,
cannot be erased. Everything he creates is eternal, including you. That's why you, no, don't believe that once this body goes to dust that that's it for you. You are eternal. Even your body cannot go out of existence. You can dig up someone that died 1,000 years ago and you're going to find something in there. You might find a pile of dust, but that is what is left of this body because you can't get rid of that dust. You can blow it in the air, but those particles will continue to exist because anything called into being by the Creator cannot go away. And he is eternal. He is forever and forever eternal. And that's why Lucifer continues to exist, because he's eternal. That's why the Lord has to bind him, and he will bind him one day. That's what the book of Revelation talks about. He will bind him. And that's why he made hell. That's what he made hell for. He said, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like a lightning bolt to the earth, through the earth into hell. Because God had to confine him. God had to put him somewhere. Because he could not uncall what he had spoken. So you want to get this bit about he is the king of who you are. He saw all your days. You're citizens of the city of Zion. He bought you with a great price. So the question again, who are you? And that's a question you have to ask. It's a personal question. I cannot answer that question for you. You have to answer that question for yourself. Who are you? Is Christ the king of who you are? And if you want a hint to tell you who you are, your heart and your behavior will tell you who you are. Your heart and your behavior will tell you who you are. I tell you. And so many days I'm like, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Who God is still working on. Who God is still working on. So I'm a child of God, but I know he's working on me. And my behavior tells me, oh boy, okay, I gotta take that to him. So you'll know who you are, your heart and your behavior. You know, if you just want to just watch yourself, watch what's going on in your heart, how you act, that'll tell you who you are. And if you see yourself changing, I know all of you will say, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. I'm different. That's who you are, because he's changing you. That's who you are. That's who you are. And then we get to the segment on Lord, because we want to finish today. Lord. The title Lord indicates one to whom you bow and whose will you serve. You will hear many things in this life. Satan, his demons, and people will try to persuade you in many directions. But through all of it, you must hold sacred to him who is your Lord. In the end of all and anything that you do, you will bow to one will. Let me read that again. In the end of all and anything that you do, you will bow to one will, and that will be your Lord. You understand? In the end, you're going to bow. I said your behavior. You're going to be bowing to something. And in the end, that will tell you who your Lord is. The question is, will your Lord be the Lord of glory? Question mark. The Apostle Peter had to deal with such issues in the early church. He wrote, "And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved."
Yes.
This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. This will result in their destruction. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on your guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of those wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Peter 3, 16-18. I mean, Peter's just giving these people such a wonderful sermon. Like, people will take the word of God. They'll take the words of Paul. They were taking the words of Paul, and they were twisting it. But he said, you have to be on your guard and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The apostle was warning the early church to be aware of wickedness that would twist the scriptures and lead them away from the will of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must continue to heed this warning and hold sacred the will of our Lord. I'm telling you, we got to hold. That's why you got to have that word of God just so close to you. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, "The first man was of the earth, made of dust, and the second man is the Lord from heaven." Heaven bows to Christ as he is the Lord of heaven. So again, we see the different aspects of Christ as Lord. He is the Lord of heaven. See, Christ is not just a citizen of heaven. He is the Lord of it. He rules it. The next point says, "For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the King over all the earth." That's from Psalm 47:2. So, yeah, I don't believe that we can fully comprehend the awesomeness of God in these mortal bodies. I don't think we can contain seeing or knowing his glory. That's why the scripture says no man can look at God and live, because I don't think we can even understand how awesome our Lord is. The next point in your lesson says, "These will make war with the Lamb." This is from Revelation 17:14, and it says, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." And we just read this scripture, and now it's just talking about the Lord aspect. All lords will bow to the Lord of glory. Whoever you are bowing to other than Christ, that person will be overcome someday and bow to Christ themselves, see, the Lord of glory. Be sure that your Lord is the Lord. And you got to check yourself. Amen. Be sure that your Lord is the Lord. Lord will be our mighty one. He will be like a wide river of protection that no enemy can cross, that no enemy ship can sail upon. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will care for us and save us. This is from Isaiah 33, 21, 22. So in the middle of this corrupt generation, he will care for us and save us. You know, I was worried, like, okay, Lord, it seems like the world is getting worse and worse. How does he care? But he can do that. He can care for his people. He can protect his people in the midst. I mean, if he can protect the Hebrew boys in a fiery furnace, he can take care of you in this world. And that's what he promises to do. The next scriptures says, "Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's from Romans 10, 12 and 13. Because he is Lord of all, everyone who calls on him. And then our last segment says, "There are many sons, but he is the Son,
yes,
the pure offspring of God,
yes,
the seed of majesty,
yes,
the one who left heaven and obeyed his father through humiliation and torture to save a race of unworthy beings." And that's it in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. He obeyed his father through humiliation and torture to save a race of unworthy beings. There is only one like him. This is why he is the Lord of glory. He has made the unworthy, you and me, glorious. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He has made me glorious. He has made me, that overwhelms me.
Yes.
That he made this old girl glorious. Didn't have to. So he is the Lord of glory. Any comments? We just have a few minutes.
Yeah, so much stuff going on.
He was about to jump out of his seat. So
I know.
You know what? I'm listening to you. Now, every time this happens, everything that you said up there, yesterday, you know, in the morning I read and spend my time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And everything that you said always come to me too.
Mm-hmm.
The different way, but the same
thing.
That's
just God, Holy Spirit.
And I was going through the house and I said, you know, this flesh cannot worship you.
Mm-hmm.
This physical and way I think mm-hmm. of things will not be able to worship you. But because of the blood of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and because you redeemed my soul, because you revealed the truth
yes.
of what I'm up against, I look at people out there, they're under the influence of the devil and
yes.
don't know it.
Yes.
And when you're under the influence of the devil, you can't see,
mm-hmm.
you can't hear,
mm-hmm.
you're blind. And you can't hear his words.
Yes.
But because I belong to you and all my brothers
yes.
and sisters, we now hear
yes.
and we now
yes.
see
yes.
and we glorify you.
Yes.
Now to be in love with you is because we choose to be in
yes.
love with you
yes.
because you have drawn us by your love.
Yes. I'm thinking of the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet
Amen.
The sound that
Amen.
Saved a wretch
yes.
like me.
So,
I once was blind.
But now I see.
I once was lost, but now I'm fine. I was blind.
But now,
but
I,
now
see.
I see. Hallelujah.
Well, anyways, I got a different situation here. You know that movie, In His Steps? And yesterday we were watching it. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we have to, you know, people go to church. Yes, go to church. They think that we're saving everything. But one example is they're having a brand new senior pastor in the church. So he dressed up as a homeless. Nobody knows him yet.
Mm-hmm.
He dressed up as a homeless, and he was in front of the church, and nobody acknowledged him. And just 3 people out of 7,000 people or something like that. So he went inside the church. He sat on the front, and the people say, no, you should sit in the back, because he's homely, he's dirty and everything, right? So he sat in the back. So the person was going to introduce the new senior pastor. He got up and walked down the aisle, and everybody's looking, and they're like this, right? And so he was in front of, you know, and it was like, you know, you think you're a Christian, but God said on Matthew 25:35, say, I was a stranger and you took me in. You fed me and you, I'm hungry and you fed
yeah.
me and stuff like that, right? And he said, this is me. I'm your new senior pastor. And I want you to think about what you just did to me, and what does Jesus do, and stuff like so. We will see you next year. The church is dismissed. Think about that. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said, you know, we come to church, we think that we're holy and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff, but do we do Jesus. What Jesus do?
Jesus.
That is so powerful.
Jesus. Yeah.
And then I saw the movie last night. It was a confirmation
yeah.
in his steps. It was awesome.
Oh, really done
yeah.
with Jesus.
It was so awesome.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
But if we're in love with Jesus, which is love he put in our heart,
yes.
think on those things are pure.
Yes.
Think on those things as just.
Yeah.
Think on those things are true. Think on those things are holy, because that's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we desire to be that, we know we're not perfect. But because we're not perfect, through him, he made
right.
us perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we
you
need
know,
to be more aware of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing what Jesus do? What are we following his steps?
You know, this is
somebody gave me the story of it.
Yeah.
Karen, I just wanted to say.
Let me just comment. I'm coming right to you. It is a process, you know, because
yeah.
that grieves my heart too.
Yeah.
You know, it grieves my heart so much. And, you know, the sermon that was preached last Sunday.
Oh, it was
you
amazing.
Know, I could not stop thinking
yeah.
about those statistics
yes.
about the millennials and
right.
also the suicide issue
yep.
yes.
and the comment that we're losing a generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a process, but we need to be about the process.
Right.
You need to be on the process,
oh, yeah.
you know, because so many people have stepped off the process. I'm
yeah.
saved, so I'm just going to park here until Jesus
right.
comes.
Right.
Well, we need to be on the process because, see, Only he can make us love.
That's right.
See, because in my own self, in my own heart, I cannot love people.
That's right.
I'm selfish. I cannot love people. But if I stay on the process of praying and reading his word and telling, lifting my gates up to him, the King of Glory will come in and show me how to love the homeless person. Show me how to love the millennials that are doing all these bizarre things. How do you love them? How do you keep them? They're dying, folks. And how do we love them? You know, and I'm talking in all the hats I wear. I'm talking even as a parent. I'm like, Lord, how do I love my daughter? How do I love my son? How do I love them? They're in this generation. And we think we know, but we don't know. We think we're good Christian people, but we got a ways to go.
Yes.
You know, it's a process. So at least be in the process.
Amen.
Don't be on the sidelines waiting for Jesus to return, but be in the process of allowing him to come in and change you so you can love people.
Amen.
So, Margaret.
I'm going to say something, but give a little testimony, too. You know how you're always saying that you preach on something, and then we go into service, and Pastor Steve preaches the same thing? Well, when you were reading this, I've been reading in the Old Testament, and I read this very thing last night that you were talking about. And as for me, I learned that this thing with Rachel, I think God gave it to me as another test. And this test I passed because I told the doctor, they said she might have cancer. I told the doctors, I already knew that she didn't have it. And I only prayed about it once, and I never even prayed about it after that because I had the peace. And I just wish I could have the peace about all these things too. But God's shown me that I've been negative a lot, and it's affected me. And if I can stay positive, I can trust him in this, everything else is going to work.
Amen. Right.
It doesn't mean that it's going to be easier. Amen. It's not going to make you sad or painful.
Yeah.
But you can trust
him. Yeah.
So I think this thing with Rachel was more for me than Rachel, because I prayed about it once. I just said, you know how they say when they bring people down to the altar for healing, he says, we don't accept this. I said, I don't accept this. And I prayed about it once to God, and I never mentioned it again because I knew that God was going to take care of that. And I wish I could do that and be positive about more situations in my life. But I think God was trying to tell me that, you know.
Amen. I'm telling
you. I don't know why the other things don't work out, but I have to trust him.
Yes, and again, Margaret, keep lifting up your gates to him, see? Keep lifting up your gates to him. Yes,
Amen.
You already knew, because we prayed for Rachel, agreed for Rachel, and you knew the report was going to be good.
Do you think this is what it is?
Yeah. And that may have been
in him, so it was more God reaffirming. Yes, sure, other things have been answered, like Tony and your family, but just give me time, because I can do it just like I did
And it may not have been just about you. It may have been about that person that you told, I know. They didn't have cancer. I knew that.
Well, I
told
him.
Because that plants a seed in their
heart.
He
did the day he did the bladder, they stick the camera in.
Yeah.
I told him, I know God's going to take care of this. And he said, well, we can get rid of it.
Yeah.
And he didn't even, that was the first time we went Wednesday. That was the first time Rachel even heard the word cancer. I just told him.
Because even your peace and your demeanor, you know, as a believer. Can minister.
Be that way of the most. Even with the thing
with Tony.
It may not happen as fast as this one, but
it'll happen. It'll happen. You keep growing, Margaret. You keep growing.
So God was trying to encourage me, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Always. Always trying to encourage you. Let's pray, guys. We're running out of time. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, dear Lord, for the Lord of glory.
Hallelujah.
Lord, parts of our hearts are just heavy, Lord God, as we see the situation, Lord God, that I pray, Lord God, that we will be in the process, Lord God. Father, those of us that have been standing on the sidelines, just staying where we are, just being stagnant believers, Lord, I pray we would get back into the process. Oh, Lord, that we would start to grow, Lord, so we would understand what it is to love people, what it is to care about people, what it is to be children of the Most High God, Lord God. What it is to be a saint, as it were. Lord, so God, we just pray that you would help us, Lord God. Help us to grow in you. Help us to develop in you, Lord God. Help us to have our gates lifted up to you, Lord God. We pray that you would be our Lord. You would be our King, oh God. And show us, Lord God, those things that we have that are Lord's over us. And that we look to, Lord God, over you, Lord God. The things that we put as King over you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that we would make a declaration that we would choose this day who we're going to serve, Lord God.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your name because you are our King of glory, and you are our Lord of lords. We declare it today, Lord God, individually and corporately. We declare that you are the Lord of glory in our lives, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.